Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM, Bama Bep Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, for your deadly program, National Talk Black. And you can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text our brother 045-714-0550. And otherwise, check us out on Facebook as well. That's BBM 987 FM. And look, a voice for our people. So do add to the conversation. We're in uncharted waters regarding the time that we're living in at the moment. When we're talking about this yucky virus, and we need to do what we need to do to keep ourselves safe, you mob. Don't leave your community. Don't leave your suburb to where you're living unless you're going to work and home again, or going to grocery shopping and home again, and look out for our young ones as well, and talk to the young ones about active in the community, talking with people, touching people. None of that. Do the foot tap things. I see the young brothers out there are doing the no longer high five or the elbow even. They're just doing the tap tap with the feet, and whatever we need to do, keep your hands cleaned and keep yourself safe. That's what it's all about. Add to the conversation. Tell us what's happening in your community, in your area, with your organisation. Shut down. Keep an eye on what's happening through the news as well. And that's on TV news as well as radio news. And here we are yarning now regarding the virus and what shops are open and what shops are closed. So we need to do due diligence in keeping ourselves safe. But add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. We're still here ready for a yarn, your mob, and talk about how we can navigate through this yucky time that we're going through at the moment. But have faith and stay strong, and our spirits are strong, and surviving, resilient people we are, 60,000 years. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416.
Just to recognize, sorry, cause not.
Yeah, too deadly. So true, saying sorry isn't hard to say, but sorry is being a stronger person. You are. Have your say and yarn up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yarn up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go via NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, BBM, 98.7 FM, National Talk Black. All right, we're going to jump in. We're going to have a yarn now with Gemma Stewart, culturally appropriate foster and kin care service coordinator at Weetropin Health Service here in Cairns, and how to become a foster or kin care carer, and how Weetropin can support them in that space. On the line, Gemma, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Let's talk about Kinshare Care Services that you're a coordinator of. It's about looking after young ones, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So at the moment, the culturally appropriate foster and kinship care team, or CAFACS, as some people in the community might
CAFACS?
Know it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we currently support foster and kinship carers in the Cairns region. We go up to the Atherton Tablelands, right down to Cardwell, and as north as Kooya Beach up in Mossman,
yes,
or Mossman Way. So we've got a large scope, you know, that we do cover, and obviously, you know, across the service centres, you know, child safety service centres, that includes Atherton, Innisfail, North Cairns, Lower Cape. So it is a big space that we
big
do
space,
cover.
Big footprint for sure. To talk about the foster carers and the kinship carers, how do they apply, and who's eligible?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess, you know, what we're seeing trends, unfortunately, of a high number of our Indigenous children coming into out-of-home care. And unfortunately, if we don't have, you know, culturally appropriate placements for our children, it, you know, often means that our kids are being placed with non-Indigenous carers.
Mm.
So what CAFACS really is hoping to do is increase the number of, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander foster carers that we have,
sure,
to make sure that our kids are, you know, staying with, you know, families and connected to kinship and country and, you know, in local community.
Yes.
So if there's anybody, you know, in the Cairns community or surrounding communities that would like to become a foster carer, all they need to do is contact us at Weetropin here, 408-01-080, and we can talk them through the steps of becoming a foster carer. One of the main things that you would need to get is a blue card, but we can certainly, you know, support you in that process of, you know, of obtaining a blue card.
Okay.
And then it's just a matter of us coming out and just having a yarn with you about,
sure,
you know, making sure that your home is safe for little ones, you know, and what your, you know, parenting kind of, I guess, approach might be to raising our little ones in the home. So, you know, it's, we try and be as, you know, sensitive as we can around the topic.
Yes.
But also, you know, we just like to make it as informal and relaxed as possible to make sure that, you know, people,
exactly,
are feeling comfortable in having these conversations.
So what ages are we talking regarding kids? Let's start with the kids first.
Look, we're seeing bubbers, our babies coming into care, right up through to, you know, children that are exiting care. So at the moment, yeah, a wide range of, you know, ages of children coming into care. But I guess, you know, we're also seeing sibling groups that we need to try and maintain, and
yes,
we definitely do our best in trying to sustain sibling groups as well.
And when we're talking foster carers and kinship carers, are we talking singles? Are we talking couples?
You know, we have lots of aunties and uncles that are single carers that, you know, put their hand up and, you know, dedicating their time to caring for our young ones. We've got couples, we've got same-sex couples, you know, we've got married couples, so definitely don't discriminate on, you know, any of that. I guess, the need is that, you know, if you can provide a safe and loving home and, you know,
exactly,
a couple of extra beds for our kids, then, you know, that's what's most important.
And what's the duration of the caring responsibilities?
Yeah, so I guess you know, it all kind of really depends on the carers. And, you know, we definitely have some carers in the region that have been carers for, you know, 20 plus years. And they've been, that, you know, dedicated for such a long time and have cared for, you know, hundreds of kids, which is, you know, absolutely wonderful. But we've got, you know, some carers that might feel like, well, you know, we're only really free on the weekend because we work full time, and that's okay as well, you know.
Oh, so you do part time as well?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we've got long term, you know, carers that can provide those primary kind of care situations, but we've also got, you know, short term carers that can, you know, put their head up and say, well, you know, only the weekend is okay for us, and sure, you know, we're more than happy.
Of course,
with that, okay, you
know? Because where they are during the week, it gives the carers there a break for the weekend, so to speak. So it's a team effort. Well, they always say it takes a community to raise a child, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, that's exactly right. We've also got carers that, you know, are happy to put their hand up and say, you know what, give us a call in the middle of the night, and we're happy to, you know, take on any children that might need somewhere safe to stay at night time as well. So, you know, we really appreciate any type of care that, you know, people are able to provide. Yeah.
So you're always looking for carers as such? I mean, is the ratio for a carer to a child is high?
I guess, you know, there really aren't any ratios in terms of, you know, one-on-one kind of, you know, carer to child. But
okay,
I guess the main thing is, you know, that you've got the time available, you've got the capacity to care for them, that you've got the space within your home. All of those type of things, you know, really kind of build a solid foundation for, you know, a stable, ongoing placement for a child.
And, of course, it's a paid job, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So you're entitled to a fostering allowance as well. You know, if there's any ad hoc kind of out-of-pocket expenses that, you know, you might come across with caring for a child, then they can certainly, you know, be, you know, assessed as you know, case-by-case situations, and you can, you know, receive entitlements for that as well.
All right, fantastic. Look, very important space, and we're talking about precious cargo, our beautiful piccaninnies,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
But thank you very much, Sharon, Gemma, and all the best to you and your deadly team.
And
to
so
anybody out there who's, look, just a phone call away, sit down, have a chat and have a yarn, and look at, how you say, a pathway, or you could say a career pathway, and if not, looking after our young ones.
Yeah, definitely. But thank you so much for the opportunity. And, you know, if we can definitely talk about it more and really, you know, try and recruit as many carers as we can, then it just means our kids are being, you know, placed in culturally appropriate placements, which is what we're wanting.
Beautiful. Gemma, thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye. Adelie Yande, Gemma Stewart, her name is, the Culturally Appropriate Foster and Kinship Care Service Coordinator at Wootropperin Health Service, a First Nation health organisation here in Cairns, and a big footprint, look after the big area here in Cairns, far north. Have your say, your mob, here on National Talk Black. Want to hear what you're going to say. Tell us what's happening with your organisation, with your people, with your clan, in regard to work, in regard to business, in regard to sports, and in this unknown world that we're living in at the moment, because of this virus. If you want to talk about the virus and tell us how you're travelling, we're going to catch up very soon with brother man Jesse Martin, and why he travelled overseas, and the COVID-19, and what operations were in place at the airport, and how is the quarantine going. So we'll have a talk to JM very soon. So stay tuned. Your daily program, National Talk Black. Daily number again is 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Curry.
People, my people, Aboriginal people, don't forget what we're fighting for. We Aboriginal people,
Yeah, Chris Phillips, his name is. My people, my people. A very good morning, my people. Hope you're well here on your daily program, National Talk Black. The Baldy One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, taking right through 12 noon Queensland time. You can give us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text a brother, 045-714-0550. We're housed at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumba, Brit Media, 19.7 FM, and across the nation. Thanks to NERS. Going to catch up now. We've got Lillian on the line from Cherbourg. My sister, good morning. How are you, Lillian?
Good morning, Trevor. You know, I'm just calling today about... I just want to say something first about that kinship caring.
Yeah. Yes, please, go ahead.
You know, like my sister and her partner, they're in their late 60s and they look after three young boys.
Oh, beautiful.
Who happen to be my great-grandson.
Oh, okay, rightio.
I think the eldest, he's... age now, so they've had him since he was a baby too, so three of them, three brothers they are.
And you've got access, you visit them?
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, I do as much as I can, you know. They come to Sherwood and we have to train for the other side to come to Sherwood, but because of what's happening now, the sad situation.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'll keep in touch with my phone.
So good, okay. Beautiful.
Yeah. What I was ringing about, I just want to, because I'm a candidate for the new opposition of Chevy,
yep.
I just want to wish the other candidates for the new opposition and for the councillor, I want to wish them all the best for the election when it closes on Saturday, and hope everything goes all right for them.
That's a nice nice thought there, my sister, and wishing the other candidates all the best.
Well, I do.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of good people there, and... I may be the eldest of a lot of them, but, you know, the best person will win.
Yes.
And hopefully they'll do a good job in the community that we expect, you know, to happen here.
Too deadly. Lillian, have you thrown your hat in the ring before regarding political arena?
I was on council in 2004, 2008. I was going back a while, but, yeah.
Sure.
So the next election I didn't get in. But I do a lot of stuff in the community. I do a lot of work in the community. I still work. I won't tell you my age, but I still do.
Kicking stairs, my sister. That's deadly. You're still active with life.
I have a fun way of unwinding. I sing with a local band here.
All right, okay.
Their name's Muddy Frost anyway. So, you know, the other thing too, I'm thinking, you know how to go. Yeah, and all that. There are older people that myself in Sherbourg, not only here in Sherbourg, but everywhere else. I'm talking about our mob, you know.
Yes.
That's your mob. And about the stolen wages, you know, why have they got to wait so long?
Exactly.
The government should look at that too after they've done all this other thing with the coronavirus.
Sure, exactly.
Paying those older people out their money in case something happens.
There's still a lot of unfinished business there, isn't there, Lillian?
That's true, yeah. You know, and something needs to happen. We need to talk up now and say, okay, then, if this has been approved, it should be paid out. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. And a lot of our old ones have passed on, you know, and have missed the boat, so to speak, and that's sad, isn't it?
It is very sad. It's very sad for the families, you know, our families.
Exactly.
You know, I know that, you know, a lot of our mob, you know, really look forward to that sort of thing before they do. Because, you know, we're not very healthy people, are we? You know, like us mob, you know, we're not very healthy people. I sit on the health action group in Sherbourne, and, you know, it's a thing about closing the gap and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's a very sad situation when these people, you know, everybody can't get their money that's owed to them.
Well, you look at the situation we're in at the moment, Lillian, where people are getting laid off work now. And it's the, employers' rights, well, it's their duty to pay out their leave or their holiday pay, their sick pay, you know. And so we're now talking about, if not paid out, it becomes stolen generation. And that's black and white, isn't it?
That's right.
You know, so same thing applies to what you're talking about with our old people regarding stolen wages. That hasn't been settled yet, has it?
No, No, that's true. Mm. Right, the other thing I just wanted to say is coronavirus. We're all in this together.
Yes.
And, you know, black, white, pink, whatever.
Exactly.
You know, and we need to fight this thing and as best we can.
Mm.
And that's, you know, it's keeping the distance from, at the, you know, from other people and whatever. At the moment, I think we're pretty safe here in Sherwood.
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But, you know, we just make sure that, we try and stay that way. You know?
Well, when you say we're going to fight this thing together, that's about all of us abiding by the rules, so to speak. If you don't need to be out, then stay home, stay in your community or stay in your suburb or whatever. We need to do our bit because the worst person to this disease is the people who are not living by the rules, so to speak.
That's true. We need to stop. You know, we'll go into places. Well, hopefully the pubs and clubs are going to be closed anyway, so...
Exactly.
You know, that's a
good, no need to go out.
You know, because of this.
Mm. Especially our elders. Look for our elders and look for our young ones. Look after them, you know.
Yes, look after them, that's true. Yep. Especially our elders now, you know.
Mm.
You know, I'm talking about the people here in Sherwood older than what I am, and I worry about, you know, how they're going to be...
Exactly. Well, good luck in your campaigning and your election there, my sister, and thank you for sharing. And nice thought there, congratulating and wishing the other candidates all the best in their endeavours.
That's sincerely. And just to the lady, I think the ladies and the one gentleman at the cafe, the Cheddar Cafe.
Mm.
Hope you all have a good day and stay safe and do the good work that you're doing.
Community person, you are too, Deadly. Good luck with your race too, my sister.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye, Lillian. See you, sis.
Stay safe. Bye bye.
Bye bye. A beautiful yarn there with Lillian from Cherbourg, and she's got her hat in the political arena in the state election here in Queensland. That's coming up 28th of March, I believe it is, and she's wishing all the other candidates all the best in regard to the race. So isn't that a good competitor, so to speak, and loving and respecting people across from her. So fantastic. Have your say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. That daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Woolly One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 19.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, and that daily number again is 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Like I said, we're living in uncharted waters with this COVID-19, this virus that has taken the globe by storm and the yucky space that we're living in at the moment. We're going to catch up now with JM, brother Jesse Martin on the line, while he travelled overseas and talking about COVID-19 and what operations were in place at the airport and how is the quarantine going for the lad. On the line, Jesse, good morning, my brother. How are you?
Hey, we try, Russ. Going good here, eh?
Good, brother. Yeah, good, brother. Good to hear that you got a smile on your dollar. First of all, brother, let the mob know who your mob were you from.
Yeah, right. I'm Jesse Martin. So you're a Ewan man, mob from down south, my old man from La Perouse.
Mm.
And our mum, she's from up Simple Way there, up in Torres Strait. So she wagadagam.
Too deadly, my brother. Now, talk about your trip. Now, you travelled overseas. Was that for business, holiday, leisure, or what was the trip for? And tell us about and how long ago that was. And now, if you're back home, paint that picture regarding the situation of the operations at the airport and quarantine, and how's that going? Let's talk there, please, brother.
Yeah, bro. So basically went overseas for work now. So through the organisation I worked for TSM, we've got a program called the My Experience, so it's basically a cross-cultural and international exchange initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So we take a lot of our young students from regional remote areas, a young mob now, going over places like Oxford and Cambridge and Harvard and all around the world anyway. So we had a young cohort go to Los Angeles. Unfortunately, at this time...
When did you travel, brother? When did you travel?
So it was about 2.5 weeks ago now.
And how many were in the group, bro?
So it was just three of us all up.
Okay.
Just three.
And so how long were you over there for?
So we were meant to be there another 2 weeks, but we after the first week, things got very, very hectic, I'll say, and everything obviously had to be cut short. So We got very, very lucky at the end of the day because, I mean, when we landed in Los Angeles, the message from not just the Australian government at the time, obviously there was some, but the American government as well, was that everything is fine. Look, this situation is obviously unprecedented, but it's under control. We can manage the effects of this and we can basically move forward on that. But from there, by day two, all major sporting events had been shut down when we arrived in Los Angeles. By day three, they declared a national emergency, and by day four, everything just started to close down. By the end of the week, all clubs, pubs, like what's happened today across the country as well, everything had been shut down. And we were very, very lucky to make it out of Los Angeles anyway.
So did you get in touch with your airlines to change your flights and get out of there as soon as possible?
Actually, the first point of contact I rang was the consulate in Los Angeles. So after being on the phone to them, and normally if you talk to the Australian government, they've got a position on everything. What sort of, I guess, frightened us a bit was the fact that when we rang them, they couldn't give us any answers, absolutely none.
Wow.
So from there, we made that determination to say, well, look, if they can't tell us what the hell's going on at the moment and they've got no idea, then we've really got to take matters into our own hands. So I'm very, very fortunate to have some friends who worked in Flight Centre, and we've seen how that what's impact it's having on them at the moment, the COVID-19.
Sure.
He was able to get us on the last flight out of Los Angeles the very next day.
Hightailed it out of there as fast as possible, brother.
Absolutely, because if I stayed any longer, it looks like I would have been, I might have had to apply for a green card if you're living over there.
Wow.
So.
Scary, brother, scary. And you First Nation man of this country and you have to get a green card. What's up with that?
Not wrong, brother. Otherwise, it's a hell of a long swim back across the ocean. Big time.
Hard with no floaties as well, brother. So listen, your trip back,
bro.
When you arrived here in Australia, where did you drive? Here in Cairns or down to Sydney?
No. So we flew into Brisbane, so straight flight over from Brizzy there. When we came through the airport now, we were told that leaving Los Angeles anyway, obviously because of the COVID-19 situation, that we'd be going through certain screening and certain checks and things like that.
Yeah.
When we first landed there, though, there was men standing in hazmat suits and dressed up for a pandemic, which is which you expect to. Sure. Expect to see at an international airport during these times anyway.
Yes.
But sort of basically to our surprise anyway, no one was tested, no one was screened or anything. They just give you a form at the airport and then basically saying that you understand the risk of COVID-19 and the risk to the community at this time, so you have to self-quarantine and self-isolate for 2 weeks once you've landed back.
Okay, you're in that self-isolation now, are you?
Yes, I'm calling from the hotel room here and, in lockdown.
In lockdown. So when do you get out, bro?
So I've got another week and a half, I think.
Week and a half. So in that time you're there, is any medical staff coming to test you out, or do you have kits as such to test yourself?
No. As the information has been given to us is that because of the lack of, testing kits at the moment, they just wanted you to present symptoms first. So if you present symptoms, because after 2 weeks, they believe that's the incubation period anyway. So after 2 weeks, they'll go out and if you're presenting any symptoms, go into the ring the doctors, tell them to come in, get checked up, and these sort of things. Now, but I think they're sort of saving a lot of kits for the inevitable rush on patients who are going to be coming through.
Sure.
So I think that's just what they're saving for, rather than testing everyone now.
Yes.
I think they think it's going to, which I believe too, we're a couple of weeks behind Europe and the United States, but things are going to get a hell of a lot worse before they're going to get better.
Exactly. It's very hard and very sad to hear you say that, but that is the case. But how are you feeling at the moment, Jesse?
Oh, I'm tip top, mate. I'm just, going a bit stir crazy, looking at these.
No cabin fever, brother.
That hit yesterday, anyway. So
you're too dilly, brother. Love your spirit, brother. So coming in the next week and a half, and when you're released, there's not really not going to be a test on you then.
No, no, not at all. Unless I'm, like I said, unless I'm presenting any sort of symptoms,
okay.
Then, I can't say I'm feeling sick or groggy or feverish or anything else at the moment. So, you know, touch wood, you know, pray to God that I'm, you know, everything's all good, you know.
Exactly.
But same time, you know, like, who knows, you know, with I could be walking out of the hotel and I could walk past someone with, I could, you know, someone could sneeze around me, I could touch a surface that someone else has touched, or it's just that easy to get this thing, you know. And every day the numbers are going up, and they're expecting conservative numbers at the moment, they're expecting at least 60% of the population to get this. I mean, that's a hell of a lot of people.
Well, black man, you got a good spirit there, my brother, and you only can be in control of what you can be in control of, and that's what you're doing at the moment, your spirit and your mind and your thought process. What about the other two associates of yours? Are they in the same hotel?
No. So they've, because when we, and this is, I guess this is somewhat more of a bit of a scary thing as well, as when we flew into Brisbane, they departed back to Cairns, and I had to depart for Sydney. So we got on connecting flights from there and then went back to our own accommodation agreements anyway. But, I mean, if we were on this flight, though, I mean, coming back from Brisbane,
yes.
If anyone on board that flight had it, and then, you know, there were people coughing around, as people do, and things like that, doesn't mean they've got it, doesn't mean they haven't got it.
No, that's right.
But when they've gone, in our time in transit between that airport and our accommodation, we would have passed thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
I was sitting in transit for 8 hours in Brisbane Airport.
Yes.
I mean, in that time, there's, you know, you're going to get a feed, you know, you're sitting down, you're walking through walking through terminals, walking through, you know,
security toilets,
checkpoints, things like that. Exactly. And then, I mean, in that time, there was probably about 300 people on that flight, and they all went, and they all did exactly the same thing as well. So you can just understand that how easy that this virus can spread, and how easy it is for it to be in transmission.
Exactly.
And it's just, and when even walking by someone in the street, it can be that easy, just bumping into someone or you know, touching a surface that someone else has touched, and you know, just things like that. I mean, with all these social distancing laws now,
exactly.
I mean, it's probably
the message for a man who's in quarantine, brother, the message is to all our mob out there is abide by the rules. Don't touch each other, you know. Keep your 1.5 metres away from each other, and due diligence. If you don't need to be away from your home or out of your suburb or your village or your community, then stay put.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and particularly for younger mob now, I mean, look, it's, you know, the risk obviously is far decreased, but for them old mob, mate, I mean, that's who this is really about here, you know. I mean, we've all got, you know, we all got elders, we got, you know, we got mothers, fathers, grandparents, you know, all different old mob of the community. I mean, that's who we're looking out for, you know. I mean, that's why we've got to take that due diligence, take these steps now, these proactive steps, because everything we can do literally could mean the life or death for someone else right now.
Exactly. We can't be too laxy-daisy on that, you know, my brother. Listen, great talking to you, my brother. Please do keep in touch, and love your spirit. Keep doing what you're doing, brother, and cabin fever is not affecting you. You've got a smile on your dial, and you're too deadly, my bro.
Deadly, Russ. Cheers for the chicken today, eh?
Yeah, you take care, brother. We'll be in touch, Jesse.
Okay, deadly, Russ.
Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. Jesse Martin, his name is. Look, he's a local brother here in Cairns and, look, does a lot of work. And it is the election time, and a couple of times he's thrown his hat in the arena, and he's an ex-boxer, and he does a lot of work with the youth. And there he is in quarantine, and we're talking about how the quarantine is going and how it all came about and the reason why he was overseas. And he was there doing work, and he had two associates, and they've all now in self-isolation, and there it is. But he pushed the message, we need to abide by the laws that are in place now, and do what you need to do. Keep washing your hands, don't leave home if you don't need to leave home, and 1.5 metres away from each other. And he also stressed about looking after our elders, our old people. So do what you need to do, and love, respect our elders, and love, respect yourself, your mob. Have your say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Got about 20 minutes left on the program. National Talk Black is your voice, so do utilise it. Yarning with the Bully One here, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, and our house at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. Want to hear what you've got to say, your mob? Too deadly.
G'day, folks. Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it like you stole it, son, drive it. four different colors. They come from everywhere. We're gonna reach out. Oh.
My name's Raven and you're listening to Talk Black on BBN 98.7 FM.
To Daily Raven, that's true and correct. It is National Talk Black, BBM 98.7 FM via NERS, National News Radio Service. Your host, the Baldy One here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, taking you right through 12 noon Queensland time, which is just around the corner, about 12 minutes ago on the program. Squeezing the call, you mob, have your say, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, check out our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. And we've got all our stuff, all our photos and all the yarns there. And also you can check us out, give us a text, otherwise 0457140550. With the coronavirus, what will close and what will stay open from midday today, which is at the top of the hour, Australia's states are moving to shut down of more businesses, with only those deemed as essential services allowed to remain open in an attempt to halt the spread of the deadly coronavirus. On Sunday afternoon, Victoria and New South Wales broke ranks, with the federal government flagging major shutdowns and the impending closure of schools. In a press conference at 9:30 p.m. that is Sunday, Prime Minister Scott Morrison said the health advice continued to be that schools remain open, and provided a detailed list of the venues across the country that will be closing from midday Monday. In the end, state and territory leaders appeared to agree on Sunday night to a staged process, starting with a shutdown of principal places of social gathering. Pubs, registered and licensed clubs and nightclubs will all be forced to close across Australia today. Hotels will also need to close, excluding the accommodation. However, despite the mad rush seen at Dan Murphy's on Sundays, there is an exemption for bottle shops, including those attached to pubs, which will be able to remain open. All cinemas and entertainment venues will be forced to close. Gyms and indoor sporting venues will be closed. All churches and places of worship will be shut down from midday. That's on midday Monday. Restaurants and cafes will have to close any indoor dining and will be restricted to takeaway and or home delivery only. Retail stores, including hairdressers, will remain open. However, shopping malls are also allowed to stay open. Mr. Morrison confirmed on Sunday night what will stay open: supermarkets, petrol stations, pharmacies, bottle shops, retail stores, hairdressers, convenience stores, freight and logistics, home delivery, banks. For any indoor events that do take place, such as funerals, one person per 4 square metres rule applies. As I have stressed, and the chief medical officer has stressed, once you start putting these sorts of arrangements in place, we should have the expectation that they will remain in place for at least 6 months, Morrison told reports Sunday night. If the health situation changes and enables us to reconsider those arrangements, then that can be reconsidered. And PM forced to act when Australia ignores social disturbance advice. Mr. Morrison said the latest tightening of restrictions was necessary because it was clear Australians were not adhering to the social distances advice for given by the government, and employed people to take heed of the seriousness message that is now out there. Have your say, Mob Yana Strong, 1-800-422-416. Want to hear what you're going to say on National Talk Back. We've got about 8 minutes left on the program. We're going to catch up now. I think we've got Selwyn on the line. Selwyn, good morning, brother. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Yeah, brother, you don't realise how much arseholes are happy until you want to go buy toilet paper, brother.
You find them, brother. Yep, that's right, exactly. People are panicking over time.
Yeah. Hey, brother, I reckon capitalists have got a building, eh? Capitalism?
Yes, big
time. And, brother, Jesse Martin there, talking about the whole thing, you know?
Mm.
I was thinking about the New World Order. It started when the invaders come here and, you know, smallpox and a lot of other stuff. Like, even the common cold, you know, killed a lot of those people.
Exactly.
And they're dying today, too. I was before funerals here on Palm when I went for Christmas. And brother, they talk about quarantine, you know, the reserve where places were out of sight, out of mind. Mm. And there were 3 leprosarian, brother, 4 black fellows. I get choked up when I talk, brother.
Mm.
But one of them was in Santa Marla, in the Palm group of Ireland, brother, and people went sent to, before they got sent to Palm Island, they went to the Phantom to get clearance, like, for VD and other stuff, all those introduced sort of disease like STD that was brought here. And one of the ways why people would get rid of the BD was to have sex with minors, brother, with black minor, you know, brother. And there was another one that in Gabia left a certain, and one at East Point, East Farm in Darwin. And in the 80s, when I used to work at the Ford Rehabilitation, so I used to go out there to East Farm and show films. And we had clients that come into the rehab too. And one time, the only microsurgeon in the Southern Hemisphere, he worked there, his name was Hargraves, and he showed me to look through a microscope how he sewed the tendons of rabbits together, and that was a way to help heal people with leprosy, brother.
Yeah.
But I saw on the NITV, St. Nancy, so many emigres, brother, he was said to Phantom. It was a really sad story, and at the end of that documentary, it said PLR was a repositorium for white people that were quarantined down in central Queensland. And in the 60s, they were sent back to the mainland, and they were able to stay in the mainland and found a cure. But they still kept people there on Palm Island. It wasn't until the 70s then people got clearance. And also, I'd like to talk about like Cardwell, brother, in the 80s, you know, when the AIDS stuff was going around, there was a non-Indigenous person there, a female, deliberately infecting people with AIDS, brother, at the time. So I wouldn't put it past people, not necessarily deliberately, with that virus going and doing it. But I got to ask a question, brother. My two daughters, they went on the Sun Bus on Saturday, and it was free. And I want to know if there's any medical people out there, does the money have the virus too, brother? Yes. And one of the other things I'd like to talk about, fivefold, brother, of course they'll have to sort of have surveillance of them. But you know, when this stuff about the gathering of people, I'm not going to laugh at this one. Actually, more than relatives or more than what should be at a house, they knew there was something illegal going on with gambling. So, brother, this is all not new for people like of my age that Jesse referred to. Like, even now, we're getting Russian. We got that a long time ago, brother. Thank you, brother. That's my little deal. Thank you, brother.
Too deadly. Thank you very much, someone. Very, very good points you make there. In regards to surfaces you touch, and also there's a stuff going around on Facebook as well regarding fueling up at the Bowser. Wear gloves when you're using the Bowser. Don't touch escalator strips when you're going up the escalator, you know. So, look, just keep clean and do what you need to do. Stay home. Stay in your community. Stay in your area. Look, hard times, your mob. But, look, Murray, going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company. We're back in the hot seat again tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. We are living in a different world at the moment. So stay safe, your mob. Look after your young ones. Keep clean and protect the elders as well. Thank you very much, your mob, to your deadly program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Give us a call tomorrow and let's have a yarn. Otherwise, text us 0457140550 and leave a message as well on our Facebook page, BBM 987 FM. Too deadly.
A fish for a bite to eat. Oh, 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 oh. caught a beauty, mate. This big fish is mine.